Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Hey, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there've been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Talk What Works. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're talking to Pastor K.F. Tatum about the two mass shootings that took place in our city over the 4th of July weekend. Pastor Tatum has been in contact with some of the people who attended the block party on the north side at Ross Avenue and 32nd Street. That said, their account of what happened on July 5th differs from what was released by the Fort Worth Police Department. Tonight, he's going to tell us all about that. We will also ask him about his thoughts on what happened in Como during the annual July 3rd block party, which is now being called the Como Massacre. With that said, let's talk Fort Worth. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome back to the show Pastor K.F. Tatum. Good evening, Pastor Tatum. How are you?
Good, doing well, sis. How you doing?
I'm good. Listen, you've been all over the news this week talking about these two shootings, taking a lot of heat for speaking out. That said, what are your thoughts having talked with the families up there on the north side?
Well, first of all, I want to, thank God for giving me the strength to be able to share in all of Northside and Southside. Don't forget, there's been a plethora of other shootings and things, but there was also a police chase gone wrong where a 61-year-old African-American was killed as well. But I just want to thank God for the energy and the heart and compassion to want to and the desire to do, to be at my neighbor's side doing this. You call it a massacre in Como. It's a tragedy in Texas. And so we understand that we didn't choose this, that the Lord chose us. And so we must deal with it, and we must deal with it truthfully and honestly, you know, even when it shows where we were weak in our assessments, but also in our responsibilities for what went on. So everything I'm going to share with you today is going to be my opinion and my opinion alone. So I don't want anyone else to feel obligated to agree with me. But I do pray that people will begin to stand with me because this is the fight of our life in Fort Worth. If you are black in Fort Worth, this is the fight of our life, because from what has happened over the last 10 days, it appears clearly that black people don't have rights in Fort Worth. And it's unfortunate. We, our hearts go out to the families of all of those who were lost, but also those who were shot or died in a car wreck or was involved in the accident. Our hearts go out to them all. And today, on the day after Sandra Bland passed, we laid to rest Brother Billy Quan Smith. And his mother, as can be expected, is devastated. And with her being devastated, you know, the reality is that everyone in this city has pretty much left her and all of the other families pretty much to fend for themselves during the tragedy in a Texas town. And so we're in prayer because we have a lot of work to do. So a lot of work to do, sis. Got a lot of work to do.
I agree. Because you funeralized Mr. Billy Smith today, correct?
That's correct. We had his funeral here. We had his funeral here at New Mount Rose. Yes, ma'am. And Pastor Jones out of the north side, I think it's One Church, One Community Church. I need to find his name. I need to give you his first name. And he preached his soul out today. And his message was, we have rights, call on Jesus. But he made the parallel of the black community having rights. You know, the way they're treating us, they're acting as if we don't have rights. 30 people have been shot in the last 10 days, the majority of them African Americans. In Fort Worth, the largest mass shooting surge in the history of our city. And everyone is silent. Everyone.
The mayor has not made a statement yet?
The mayor made the statement, which was a four-line paragraph, and she showed up at the Como parade passing out candy with our grief campus to go with it. It's been a failure in response. in the city of Fort Worth.
But you know what, Pastor Tatum? Our guest last night, Luther Perry, said something that struck me. He said, you know, we're not going to the city and making our demand. I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, we allow them to tell us who our leaders are. We allow them to basically chart the course instead of us charting the course. So as part of the problem, we have not been as verbal as we need to be when telling the city the things that we are going to demand.
No, we haven't
rather
been as righteous as we haven't been as righteous as we need to be. We've been verbal. We just need to be right. His name is Early Jones. Hold on a second.
Okay. Early Jones? Pastor Early Jones.
All righty. One of us. We'll come back. We'll talk later. All righty. Sorry about that. We have one of our young men here at the church came in the office.
Okay. So Pastor Irving Jones preached the funeral or eulogy.
And his message in essence was, you know, that was this beggar who begged for Jesus to help him, right? Folk around him, they were telling him to be quiet. And then he, in his spirit, said, you know, I have a right to cry out to Jesus. So the Bible said he cried out louder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So his message was, I have a right to cry out. And he's saying to the people in Northside, you have a right to cry out. You have a right to speak out. Don't let them start your voice to cry out that something went drastically wrong. And the only thing our police chief has done through this entire episode is try to justify the police officer's behavior. No compassion, no sympathy, no empathy for the family. Lord, have mercy. And I'm not just talking about the two he killed. I'm talking about the other four they shot in from behind. You know, nobody felt threatened before the police officer started shooting. It was a 4th of July block party. You have fireworks. You have guns. People moving around. Let me just say this, and I appreciate you giving me this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
In my best opinion, what the police chief has given us since July 3rd and July 4th, moving forward, has been nothing short of gaslighting. What the mayor has been trying to sell us with the reduction in crime rates by, quote, unquote, 13% is nothing but gaslighting. And they want us to buy this narrative that crime is down, our police department is good, and black folks don't have any rights. So be quiet, Kiev, and the rest of you all shut up and stop following it. And get off your soapbox. They deserve to die, and we wipe them out. In Fort Worth, Texas, in 2023.
Well, let me ask this question. Okay, when you say they deserve to die, no one knew who they were at the time in which the police approached, right? So to say they deserve to die, why would that be the same?
That's the attitude of the police chief. That's not mine.
Okay.
He justified it, and let me tell you what he justified. Now, this is here's the gaslighting, okay? Can I give you the gaslighting? And gaslighting,
yes,
nothing but giving people deceptive, you know, telling people deception, not being transparent, not being honest. You're gaslighting, right? You're being deceptive. What is it? Shifty. That's another word we call it. Shifty. He's being shifty. Right? Here's what that officer did. This is what we know that officer did with those, mind you, 30 seconds of God-forsaken tape that they've released. They'll be saying with themselves before God, 30 seconds. Watch this.
We got that tape. Do you want us to play it?
No, the tape is nothing. It's 30 seconds. You cannot tell me, well, let me start over. Let me move before the tape, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is what we know. They were en route to a different address on a call they had received. They came down Ross Street and couldn't get through.
Mm-hmm.
They proceeded to Ross Street. They did not turn on their lights. They did not turn on their sirens. And they did not announce who they were before they shot twice in 30 seconds.
Mm.
And that, my dear friend, is cold-blooded murder.
And, Pastor, they didn't give directives either, did they, in terms of, like, drop your guns, put your hands up?
They did not turn their lights on to let them know they were the police. They did
mm-hmm.
not turn their siren on to let them know it was an emergency. They did
mm-hmm.
not acknowledge who they were before they shot twice. That's
mm-hmm.
ambush. That's
mm-hmm.
murder. Because you cannot assess anything in 30 seconds. Much less everything that they're saying they justified for shooting those two brothers.
So when we're hearing accounts that they were parked down the street, is that correct? Were they parked down the street and where
the car was at least three, maybe four car lengths away from where the young men died, two to three car lengths away. I could not believe how far the car was away. And mind you, that between the police cruiser, there were two cars parked on the side of the road
mm-hmm.
of where those young men were shot. So
mm-hmm.
he had to use X-ray vision to look through those cars to say that there was
mm-hmm.
someone on the ground who had been shot, stabbed, watch this, shot, stabbed, and beat up. And can I tell you this?
Hmm.
They don't know where he is today, whoever this person is.
So the man that the man that was on the ground who was allegedly shot and stabbed, they lost contact with who he was?
Now, this is what I want to say to us, sis, because I don't want to get into melodramatics of this.
Okay.
I don't want to get into the details of this. I mean, deep into the gray. I don't want to get in the weeds, right?
Okay.
Because we know everything is disputable. Everything the police officers are saying, the neighborhood is disputing it. That's what we know, okay? But here's what we know based on the disputable evidence that's out there on the shooting. This
mm-hmm.
is what we know. They rolled up. They didn't turn the lights on. They didn't turn the siren on. And they didn't acknowledge who they were. And they didn't give any commands before they shot twice and killed Billy Jaquan Smith, 21 years old. And when the other guy saw and heard the shots, of course he's going to turn around because he's thinking they're being an ambush or an attack on the north side.
Mm.
Again, self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they did was in violation of the general orders.
So the first person that you
the first person we see
the police shooting, who is that?
That is Billy
Jaquan
Smith. They call him the cowboy, 21
mm-hmm.
years old. Good kid. I mean, he's a cowboy. They rough, they're rugged, they do rough and rugged stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't deserve to die. I say this, mm-hmm. it was a sanctioned party, sanctioned for years. They've been doing it for years.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, we still are here. Barney Fife partner, who was a fire department guy, inspector. What in the world is he? Has he been through the academy? Does he know what's going on? Or he just, this is, Grandmama used to say, it's a dead cat on the line.
Whoa.
Because it's not adding up. And what this is why I say black people have rights. When you violate black people's rights, it doesn't give you the right to charge them with a crime because you violated their rights. If something dead and dangerous was going on, where are the bodies?
The two people that they spoke of that were already shot, has anybody identified who that man and lady were?
So there's one gentleman who is 61 years old who was shot. And guess where he was shot? Because I got to go back to Brother Billy as well. Guess where he was shot?
Where?
From behind.
Oh, wow.
In the leg, bullet went through. Now, I'm going to come back to him, but let me go back to Billy, to Quan Cowboy Smith. Guess where he was shot?
In the back?
From behind. All of that in 30 seconds. All of that in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And they want us to say that that murder in Northside, on Ross Avenue, at the 4th July block party, city-sanctioned 4th of July block party, was justifiable. That was cold-blooded murder.
But, okay, let's just deal with the police policies and procedures and general orders. Weren't those violated, or did some kind of way it's an exception to not complying with the general orders in this situation?
You have a block party. The first thing you are supposed to do is to acknowledge that you are law enforcement with your lights, your sirens, if you really want to get their attention. And if you see something that looks dangerous, you get on your microphone and you say, hey, guys, put the stuff down. I'm coming in. Y'all relax. You don't go in there like you hunting. Lights off, sirens quiet, don't say nothing, come up on them and shoot them in the back and then yell, and things go crazy, so you flip the script. You shot in three different houses. You shot, according to you, six different people because nobody else had been shot. No shots had rung out during that party.
So how then does the police say that there were people shot? How did they come to that?
Where are they? The person who was shot was the man who was cleaning up the party. He's a homeless 61-year-old man who the party organizers hire, that after the party's over, part of the agreement with the city is that they clean up the street. So they hired him. And while he had his back to where all the action was, he got shot in the leg and he went down. He didn't know who shot him. But we do know that based on that video, three of where that gun, that police officer was shooting the gun, it justifies hitting that house. It justifies hitting those two houses across the street. And it justifies hitting that 61-year-old homeless man who was picking up trash, who they took to the hospital. Let me tell you how low life they are. They took him to the hospital, John Peter Smith, under John Doe. Sent the detective in to question him as if he was a criminal and had done something wrong. And he had enough, he knew his rights. He knew he had some rights. He said, I'm a homeless man. I don't have no address. I don't have nothing. I'm a homeless man. I'm a homeless man. And when they figured out that they couldn't lock him in on doing some crime or something, right? They just let him go with no medicine, no follow-up, no assistance, and they're the ones who shot him. How low can you be? How low?
And he wasn't doing anything concerning.
He was cleaning up. He was working. He was working. Now he don't have a job. Now he can't go out and hustle and cut yards and clean up. You know, you got those one or two brothers in the neighborhood, right? They're not bad people. They're not the worst in the, you can put them to work, give them some day labor, and they'll do you a good, decent job. They struggle. They got whatever challenges they got.
This is just so, when we listen to the tape, which we're going to play later, we were a little confused. We did a dry run earlier trying to understand that we understand what we heard, and we all came up with three different scenarios about what we thought we heard, because between Adrian and Chris and myself, we couldn't figure out what was really being said.
So that's a part of the shiftiness. That's the shiftiness. You done had a man, police officers, a police officer and an inspector. We don't even know if the inspector had a body cam on, but he's doing police work with no body cam. You know, they subvert the rules for them as if we don't have any rights. But this, don't get caught up in all of that. That was a hour and a half, 2 hour long tape cut up to show you exactly what they wanted to show you.
Wait, I'm sorry. Every now and then I have to do some clarity work. To clarify, that whole ordeal was an hour, hour and a half. And it was reduced to 30
longer,
seconds?
Maybe three, maybe four. Remember, he shot twice, declared who he was, and began to shoot four more times in that tape. That doesn't mention another guy went around the corner. They shot him, and he died, bam, died around on the other side of the house because he didn't know where to shoot. No one knew who was shooting. No lights, no sirens. No indication that you're law enforcement. You just ambushed us.
That's crazy. I'm just trying to grab a
right. Three homes were struck with police bullets. Three homes.
So has the police gone out and talked? That you know. Did the police talk to the people?
Absolutely not spoken to the people. They have not. Now, this is what I'm not saying. I'm not talking about the crime. I'm talking about compassion.
Okay.
This is a city. These are your neighbors. These are people who pay your bills. I mean, these are people who have just been traumatized with the largest mass shooting on that street's history, in our city's history, on the 4th of July weekend. Now, problems with them trying to just abdicate all responsibilities from Como to Evans and Rosedale to over on Ross Avenue. They are abdicating. Even the young lady, Lord have mercy, they locked her back up. They putting her in jail. Caitlin Vagagun, Vagun. The sister was crying out for help. If you look at the tape, she was frantically going around saying, shoot me, moving around. And the lady was just yelling, put that out, God. I said, you don't. And we've gone through this. We've gone through this. You don't escalate the situation. She escalated by banging on the door. Police! You're not the police in that situation. You are a mental health expert. You have a suicidal person. And when she knew, she blew it. Now they're charging this young lady with a first-degree felony assault on a public servant and have locked her up not once but twice. Blacks have rights, y'all. And if you don't fight for your rights, they're going to continue to abuse your rights. And to add insult to injury to all of this, the response from our city when the tragedy is in marginalized community versus affluent communities is totally opposite.
I agree.
Northside. All of those partygoers who had nothing absolutely to do with the police shooting have been traumatized. And our city has done nothing to go in there to soothe their doubts and to ease their spirit, to let them know everything's going to be all right. And I'm not talking about just the police department. I'm talking about our mayor, our council members, our commission. I'm talking about leadership.
Go ahead.
30 people shot in less than 10 days. The majority of them are black, and they're all from marginalized communities. What is up with that?
I think Carlos Flores is the council person up on the north side, and he made a statement, and in essence, it appeared to be saying that there was a lot of rumors circulating about what happened on the north side, but the chief, you know, basically explained everything, so therefore disregard everything you heard and believe only what the chief is saying. And I'm paraphrasing, y'all, but that was just what I took from the letter.
40 years. I've been engaged in law enforcement training, education, development, and experience. And I've never in my life seen such an abdication of responsibility from black and brown leadership as I'm seeing right now in the city of Fort Worth.
You know, I think you made a post on Facebook that said something like there's been 8 people shot. Are you talking about just this year alone?
No, police shootings.
This year.
It's been more police shootings this by July than it was in all of 2022.
Wow. So that's
I
like when
Channel 8 reported that. I just reported what Channel 8 reported.
Okay. Well, Channel 8 reported that. So when Krause's chief, right after Fitzgerald's exit, there was 10 shootings in a 6-month period, and 6 of those were fatal at the hands of the Fort Worth Police Department. And we know Krause, you know, left shortly thereafter.
That was 2019.
So we're nearing that number again.
We're right there. And no one seems to care. And if you look closely, most of them are African American. Most of the excessive use of force is African American. Most of the going to jail is African American. Most of the tickets are African American. We don't have a clue. Mark Beasley's up in D.C. put 5 siding bills and people dying here in the streets. Dying in the streets.
I just find it ironic that we would have, like, within a 2-day period, 2 mass shootings, and they both were at block parties who had been in existence for years. I just found that, you know, I don't believe in coincidences. I just thought that was just really odd that would be the case. That, you know, these were established events that had been in existence for a while, and that we would have 2 mass shootings in a short period of time involving block parties.
And one would be police related.
Yeah, that too.
There's a lot of things that can be looked at, and I've had some of the best minds on these, both of these. Mm-hmm. And everyone's coming back with the same conclusion. Horrible, horrible policing. Horrible preparation in Como and horrible execution in the north side. Horrible.
When we talk about the north side, wasn't one of those men someone who had a license to carry that was shot and killed?
That's part of this is people, like he said, the rumors and innuendos, and I'm getting him on the fact that he shot twice before he said a word in 30 seconds. That's what I'm up. He shot 6 times, 2 of them without saying a word, no siren, no lights, and you justifying that kill? That's you crazy, and all the rest of them crazy too. Anybody agree with you, they crazy.
So when we listened to the 911 call, what did you take from the 911 call that the chief released?
They were going to a different party. They weren't even coming to that party according to the original estimate. So there was no 911 call for that. He didn't have a 911 call for that. Remember?
See, Captain, we went back and listened to the tape, and I'm going to open the phone lines up early tonight to my co-host. We went through that tape earlier today at length, and we heard the caller say they were going to Ross Avenue and 42nd Street, that's where a flight was at. So we were wondering, was that call from earlier when the police went out there at 9:20 p.m.? At that same location early and not the 12:30 situation. Does that make sense?
And you absolutely are on it.
Okay.
You're absolutely. And see, that's the reality, right? Mm-hmm. What changed between 9:30 and 12 o'clock?
But why did we hear that call at all then if it's not connected to the 12:30 incident?
Gaslighting.
Oh, wow.
Shifty.
I mean,
that's being shifty. Deceptive trade practices. We cannot have another Tatiana. We're going to make this. They're trying to be so controversial, so shifty with this one. They said that Bam, and I got to get his first name because this has been all just a moving target. They said that he's a member, quote unquote, of a motorcycle gang. And you know mm-hmm. these blacks have got motorcycle clubs. They're not mm-hmm. gangs. They're clubs. These are, you know, and so they trying to even paint him as being in gang. But gang activity has nothing to do with it. He was out there at 9:30.
Mm-hmm. So
everybody was out there at 9:30.
When you say Bam, which one is that? Is that Billy or Brunche?
Brunche.
Okay, so
Brunche is the one that went around the corner in the guy and kept shooting. Shooting the guys in the back, man. Them jokers are ruthless. In the back. And getting mad at them for pointing guns at them. But you are unannounced, unacknowledged, shifty, sneaky, no lights, no sirens, and you want them, who in the world are you? Who are you shooting at us?
But wait. Really, you're talking about pointing guns, and I said this before the video came out. One of the first things that Neil Noakes came on in the night that he was did a press conference at the scene, I thought it was very, very strange, and I knew that there was going to be some shenanigans going on with this, just like there was at the Tatiana Jefferson case, because. I've watched Neil Noakes in action, and he has a script. He has a very technocratic, specific form and process of explaining these situations, and it comes out to something like when the officers approached the suspect displayed a firearm and exhibited a deadly threat towards the officers and fired. Therefore, the officers returned fire, eliminating the deadly threat. You know, he didn't do none of that with this one, and that's when I knew that we were going to get some crazy spin.
Absolutely.
And so here's what you got. You know, they never in his remarks in this thing. No, even up to date, he's only making. He's only throwing you little chopped up minced meat, basically tidbits of information that don't have any validation of evidence. And he's sitting here saying, oh, well, the light, you know what? And you said it. I think I heard you make a comment that we've got the same script with deja vu as the Tatiana Jefferson. This is playing out in the same mode. It's the same.
Yeah.
And I pointed out that we've got the same mode. We had the same mode going on 12 years ago with Sherrall Thomas, because just a quick point, They said that John Romer, the officer involved in that incident, that Sherrall Thomas rolled his window up on his arm and he was stuck. So therefore, in the heat of passion, John Romer pulled his pistol up from his hip and fired
to free himself.
14 times. If you shoot through a glass window with one time, it's going to shatter the window. You're free. He wasn't stuck there long enough. He was holding on to keep shooting 14 times. We don't get the truth. This police department is raw and rogue, and we are getting absolute zero truth, absolute zero transparency, absolute zero accountability.
Okay, Adrian, can you find that tape? Because I just want y'all to hear what I heard said on that tape. The woman says clearly there's a fight, and she says it's at Ross Avenue and 32nd Street. But that's it. You hear her say, "Oh, they just shot." But my confusion comes in if they were en route to another location based on another call, then they couldn't have been hearing the call at the same time, because the person, the dispatcher, would have had to have received the call, made certain that she got the information right, and then put it in the system for the officers or dispatch it to the officers to pick up the call. So they couldn't have been shot in that particular scenario, because that doesn't even make sense. I mean, they had to dispatch the call before they could be a party.
Well, let me say this.
It just doesn't make sense.
Let me say this. You just had the worst mass shooting in the history of Como on July the 3rd. Remember, two years before that was 8. So they broke that. And you allow another same type of block party the next night on the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And not shut all those block parties down until we have a security plan in place.
That's true.
To prevent any more mass shootings. And you have one the very next night with police involvement.
That's true.
See, they haven't been prudent at all through this. They have not been. The Fort Worth Police Department and the City of Police Department's response to tragedies is a F when this is the case. It's a flat F. It's a F. Their response was horrific. I mean, I can write a thesis or a dissertation. In fact, I'm going to make this a part of my work with the Aspen Institute so that I can show them clearly how there's a complete disregard of people who live in marginalized communities in Fort Worth, and our black and brown leaders desperately work to get out of this marginalized community setting so that they no longer get treated like second-class citizens, and they forget the very ones they should be representing and fighting for. It's a travesty before God what's going on in Fort Worth, Texas.
I agree. Pastor, would you agree that it might be safer for all involved that we get rid of the tradition of the block parties? Because if it's going to turn into mass situations like this, you know, mass shooting situations, it just doesn't sound like it's a safe thing to do anymore.
No. You got to put in precautions. Mm-hmm. First of all, if you have a block party, nobody can have a gun. So you got to put up a parameter where you got it, where whoever comes in, you check and see if they have any weapons. Second of all, you cannot have alcohol involved in those kind of block parties.
Mm-hmm.
You are setting yourself up for a travesty. Because if you have alcohol, you're going to have some of them kids with some drugs. And it's 111 degrees at 7 o'clock tonight here in Morningside. What do you think happens when you got guns, drugs, liquor, young people, and a 100-degree temperature?
Yeah.
A formula for two mass shootings in less than 24 hours.
But you know what's amazing to me about this Northside situation? And I wasn't there. I could just, you know, only imagine. But it seems like to me, if there had been fire returned, it would have been a bloodbath out there. So I just can't believe that anybody.
The only one shooting was the police.
Wow.
The only ones, because the trajectory of the bullets, and you go look at the car, and the trajectory of what they hit. They, first of all, they hit the house on the corner, which is the house where the party was, right? Then they hit the house across the street on the corner with two shots at the front of the house. Then they hit the house next to that house with shots, all coming from the trajectory of where the police was shooting. If anybody at the block party was shooting at the police, it would have been going the opposite direction, and it would have hit houses or cars in the opposite direction. So it gives me clarity that the – and you – and whoever the brother is that was speaking earlier, he is on point. Because when you listen to the chief, what he did not say is any of them shot any guns. What they said was they had guns on them, and it looked like they were shooting somebody. And then they talk about somebody who was shot, but they don't say, oh, we shot him. You know, they shot a girl in the butt. So I'm trying to say, well, where are these other two people you're talking about? Where are they? If this is bigger than you, then where are the other folks that were harmed? And the neighborhood, the complete neighborhood, is saying this is not the true story. Now I'm looking for them to say the same line.
That's why.
Real quick.
That's why it's important. I want y'all to know that I reached out to a young man who brought my attention to this. To this matter, and he's listening. He's not able to call in, but he's listening, and he let me know that they are in preparation for Brother Brunche's, I believe, service tomorrow. So
at 10 in the morning in Dallas.
I let the brother know that this platform is available. He's listening. I let him know that this platform is available whenever they are ready to. We need not only his voice, but the community whenever they are ready to come on and, you know, because we would love to hear from the community's perspective, those who were, you know, actually there.
Well, here's what we need to hear from. Let me say this, brother. That brother you have and everybody in that community has been traumatized.
That's understood.
Right now,
that's understanding, sir.
Hold on, sir.
That's understandable. That's why I say, in respect to what they got going on, I said whenever they are ready to come on. That's why I put that out there, whenever they are ready to come on. It's not because we're already having this discussion, but but we only know the perspective of law enforcement, and we only know we only dissecting this from what we perceive, you know, I don't want to speak on the hearsay factors of things. That's why I said it was important to hear from somebody from that community who was actually there. With that being said, we know they spin in a narrative. We know also that they always vilify us. Anytime we in the media, you can be a good – I don't even say anybody being a good brother, bad brother, like you say. We want to bring a human – we're trying to humanize these brothers. We humanizing everyone that was involved in the situation because they love to dehumanize us. So everyone who was a part of this tragedy, they are somebody to us. They are somebody to somebody. So – if nothing else, I just want them to be humanized and let them know what, you know, we hear from them. So that's where I'm at on.
Okay, the reason why I thought it was important for us tonight, and that's why I just immediately accepted, because I'm not on this tonight to be talking about gotcha to the police. We're going to get them. That's just a matter of time, right? They can run, but they can't hide. And Chief Notes then told us that they blew it by what he didn't say, not by what he said. But my main reason for coming on tonight is that I'm prayerful that we could galvanize our sphere of influence, create a fund or something, and start helping pay some of those expenses on Ross Street and have some of those other people get some access to some help and spend this time as much as we can showing clearly that Fort Worth responds to the affluent communities after a tragedy much different than they do marginalized communities. And it's my prayer that by me saying unequivocally that I believe not only is the chief line that those two officers did cold-blooded murder, is to get people to understand they need help on Ross Street and in the north side. And I want us to galvanize our energy after we lay Bronche to rest tomorrow morning at 10 in Dallas. And I haven't gotten the final thing, but I think it is Southern Bible Institute is my understanding, but I didn't get the final information on that. But after we lay him to rest, we have to go into our own response. What are we as a community going to do to respond to those who have been impacted dramatically by this tragedy with our police weapon? And they created the tragedy.
Hold on. Okay. Not just the gun violence as it relates to the law enforcement, because if we're talking about mental health and giving people what they need, we also need to factor in the gun violence that has occurred amongst ourselves, because you got to think, if we go back to Como, we got some brothers who were the brothers who provided security for the LA. They're still dealing with, you know, the mental setbacks of that night. So if we're going to cover, we got to cover the whole spectrum of our people. Rather, if this violence happens from with amongst us, then we got people who are dealing with that violence. And then law enforcement, we all know what the law enforcement. We of course, but we just can't make it. I don't want to make it just. I don't want this to be one avenue of. We got to cover everybody who's affected by whether it's law enforcement or if it's amongst ourselves. That's real healing. You know what I'm saying?
So, well, remember this. 3 weeks ago in June, 3 or 4 weeks ago in June, I went before city council and I said to them that the black community is suffering a mental health crisis and that with the lack of trust and ability to work with our law enforcement, it's going to make for a hot summer. In fact, our law enforcement was completely ignoring all those 6 reports that said you were rude, reckless, and ruthless to the black community and in marginalized communities. And the mayor cut me off as soon as my 3 minutes was up. 2 weeks later, Darnell showed up. He said the same thing. He's afraid about what's happening in the black community with all this gun violence. We didn't even mention the police department. He didn't even mention the police department. But by the time he finished, she had him escorted out the building, not the chamber, the entire building. And then less than two weeks later, you have the Como massacre, the Northside massacre, and 30 people shot in this town, and nobody has come out with any kind of plan to say this is what we're going to do in response to this tragedy. I mean, it's a shame before God. That says we have no sense of compassion for poor. We have no sense of compassion for the black community. We just don't have it.
But doesn't the whole world think black people have a higher tolerance for pain than everybody else? You know, everybody else can be, you know, traumatized, but some kind of way we are supposed to be desensitized, numb to all of those types of things.
Well, when you got a city abdicating its responsibility, not just for the ones who died, but for the community that's impacted. They have no regard for black, white, or brown. What I saw over in the north side, let me say this about the north side. Y'all know I've been involved all across the city in these tragic situations and things. But that north side unified, what I saw, them not tearing up their communities, them not having emotional outbursts, them not doing crazy stuff, made me proud that north side was unified. They listened to the mom and the mom Billy's mom said, you know, don't y'all tear anything up. We'll get justice. Let's lay our babies to rest first. And they really handled it with dignity and self-respect. So I want to shout my love for Northside and how they've handled it. They didn't push anybody away. They didn't push me out. You know, they didn't know me, but Mother Pickens called me in. 94-year-old mother of the community, 94 years old, mean business. But she called me because the young man who got shot from behind was not without, he was without his meds for 5 days because he couldn't afford them. JPS was trying to make him pay for his own meds after the police had shot him from behind. I mean, I cannot make this stuff up.
Pastor Tatum, was there any flock cameras in that area? We could have picked
any
up
what?
The incident. Any flock cameras?
Again, I don't know what kind of due diligence Fort Worth had in place following the worst mass shooting in Como's history. I mean, that tells me everything shuts down on the Fort. And I was one of those who was not supportive of them moving forward with the parade. I thought it was...
No,
I mean,
she's
I
speaking to the north side.
But, I mean, what it done was something totally different.
Well, no, what I was referring
I can
to, you,
you
know, the
I can,
the camera. What I was referring to was the cameras up on the poles. You know how they got all these cameras up on. Did they have any of those cameras in the that area of the north side?
Well, here's what we know. I'm not sure about north side, but I do know they had a camera at Evans and Rosedale when that reckless police officer was flying down Evans like he was on a racetrack, chasing a man with a stolen car. Not taking into account any of the neighbors or anything in the neighborhood, and went through that Evans and Rosedale light and hit that car and killed that man and injured two other people, and now they're trying to charge the two that stole the car with murder. And it was the
during rush hour,
the reckless crime.
You're out there initiating high speed chases during at 6 o'clock traffic.
When neighbors are getting off work and kids are playing around in the neighborhood still.
Well, Pastor Tatum,
just
didn't
no
they
regard,
outlaw
no regards for the black life in this town?
Didn't they outlaw or ban high-speed chases?
Absolutely. Chief Fitzgerald banned it when they were having them wrecks on the freeway.
Okay.
But
so
I'll
why
say
are we
this.
Here?
Ever since the chief was unjustly terminated, they have been running by the old set of rules. And nobody, not Notes, not Krause, no one has control of how they do business. They do it their own way. And, I mean, I can't feel sorry for Notes. He knew what Chief Fitzgerald was trying to do. He knew. But he was going to be a company man because he knew he was in line as a successor to Krause. So, no, we need the Department of Justice, Office of Civil Rights, to do an investigation, not only for the Northside case, but that corner of Evans and Rosedale. And Caitlin, Lord, have mercy.
Where is she, Pastor Tatum? Because I didn't see
her
in the system.
Her mom came out to the prayer vigil we had and told the story, and they let her out the next 2-3 days.
Okay.
She was able to get her out.
Okay, because I didn't see it in the system. Okay.
So
how do you charge a suicidal person asking you to shoot them with first-degree aggravated assault on a public servant? And if you look at that video, you will see she was frantically running around trying when the woman to shoot her to brace for the shot in the butt. And they shot her in the butt. Not the thigh, the butt.
Pastor Tatum, has there been any word that anybody videotaped the situation on the north side?
Say that again?
Has there been any, word that anybody videotaped what happened on the north side?
Sis, I have not been engaged in any of that kind of conversation, to be candid with you. We've been trying to keep the community calm as we bury these lost sons. That's,
okay.
I mean, that's been my ultimate objective. The mother, Sister Cynthia, who came to me and asked if we would work with them, and we've been walking with her, and I tell you, that woman's courage is second to none, what she's been able to endure and do. But do you know that our county fused her burial assistance, victim assistance, to bury her son?
But, you know, Pastor Tatum, I have a thought process on that. I think what happened is, victim assistance, for those who don't know, is like assistance through the state, I believe, where they give you assistance if you are a victim of crime. Now, this is just my thought on that. If they gave them assistance, that would be acknowledging that somebody did something wrong.
No. See, that's the whole thing. We've taken something spiritual and made it political.
Okay.
That's the political response. I'm talking about compassion, love, kindness, understanding with a loss of life in our community. Hell about acknowledging who did what, when, and how. Let's get this baby buried. Let's get this community back on track. I don't care about legality.
No,
Who said humanity earlier? Someone mentioned humanity.
I get that. What I'm saying is from a legal standpoint, if the city gives assistance, then doesn't that open them up to lawsuits saying that they victimized those people out there, so therefore they owe them a financial compensation for what happened? So you see how that rolls? If I do this, then that causes this chain reaction.
No one this support or assistance has to be from a legal standpoint. What I'm saying is we have a city that's had a surge of mass shootings, not just those two in Como. I think we do ourselves a disservice when we don't add all 30 of these. Because remember, in Hanley, there was 4 in an apartment complex. So every segment of our community has been hit by this surge of gun violence, and we don't have a legitimate plan, not only to prevent or intervene, we don't have a response, or at least when it comes to the marginalized community. Mm-hmm. Because it was the affluent community, they wouldn't have to go to the city to get no victim services, because the community would have put together a fund for the mother who just lost her baby. And we're doing it based on humanity and not based on some criminality. Everything is criminality with them. That's why you don't send police into mental health cases like with Kaylin. You send mental health agents.
Okay, I'm can I step in a minute? Can I have a floor for a minute? Okay, here's the thing, because I've been through the training, okay? I've got a bachelor's degree in English, and I took a lot of classes on coursework, and there's this read technique of interrogation, and there's some other stuff that comes up when you're talking about there's a guy named Kenneth Burke, okay? So you can look these guys up later. But you will understand what Noakes is doing. You will understand what the powers that be are doing here. And I'm not trying to be a tin hat conspiracy theorist, but what we're trying to say, Pastor Tatum, is, okay, I understand that we're in the days of mourning, you know, but what we're trying to do here is transition from the mourning to the facts. You know, mourning has to do with the feelings. You know, and you hear Manuel Mata say this all the time, you know, F your feelings. Because really, at the end of the day, feelings get people confused. And that's what Neil Noakes' narration is taking advantage of. He's throwing us out this cheese whiz emotional narrative that's demonizing people, throwing out and then you got Carlos Flores also in the statement that Carrie was talking about earlier. And if you want to understand why the family's kind of neutral and kind of stepping back, well, the council member from that district straight up called them all, anybody who was refuting the police chief's narrative was a liar. If it wasn't what the police chief said, it was a false account, and we refuted that because the police chief says otherwise. Well, the police chief gave you 30 seconds, not just 30 seconds of uninterrupted video, but he gave us 30 seconds of snippeted, like, let's go from this, let's go for 3 or 4 seconds, let's slow roll it, let's wind it back, let's, it's like a damn mixtape, you know, like he was up there like a DJ grinding on some wax, and mix it this way, and then he put animation in there. He put animation in there that emphasized these two shots that he assesses. Now, I'm going to make one more thing clear, that Chief Noakes, in every public statement he came out on the night of the event when he was at the scene and he did his press conference, Chief Noakes stated that both police officers were wearing body cameras and that there was video that existed that they needed time to review. That was the night. At the press conference when he was at the podium and in every other instance, there hasn't been nothing that said that fire marshal didn't have a body camera. They said that he exactly the opposite. He did. And so it is unacceptable. And, you know, in the Tyree Nichols case, they got all the videos. The press isn't going to show it because you got to they can redact it. They can redact, like, signs of bodies or something that, you know, something that is private, and they can redact it when they walk in somebody's home. You know, there's various little things. But you cannot edit body camera footage to fit your version of facts that you don't even have the facts on until after the fact. Everything that Neil Noakes is relating about what the officers were perceiving is all after are all facts that were discovered after fact. When you are investigating a police shooting,
exactly,
you are required to focus on the facts that the officer knew at the time, not when you found out that there was somebody on the side, somebody around
exactly
the corner, somebody that, and yeah, it's just bullshit. Neil, and people need to realize we need to stop. We need to stop feeling, and we need to dig into the books, and we need to show up, and we need to slap the books down on that podium at city council. We need to slap the books down at the podium in courtrooms while we're casting these lawsuits. And we need to freaking breathe fire on these grand dragons, man.
Let's listen to the tape real quick. Adrian, do you have the 30-second tape? You can cue up. Because I think,
give me one,
you know.
No, y'all go ahead. Go ahead, Karen.
Okay. I think what people don't realize is, you know, when you really listen to the tape, and we did several times today, because we're really trying to get the facts straight about this story rather than, you know, because sometimes when you hear things once, you know, you hear a month later and you didn't realize, or you realize that you didn't hear or something the first time. So we listened several times today, and we all heard different stuff, which is crazy. So we couldn't come to a conclusion as to what was said because we kept hearing different stuff. It was just crazy. And I think you all will see what we mean when we play the tape. But, I don't know where this is going with this particular incident. It's concerning a little bit. I'll be honest with you. I can't imagine trying to make sense of this right now.
You know, once you get that up, I can tell you one thing. You know, you stand there as a dude, and someone, even, you know, a more conservative person told me they were 50-50. But here's the reality. This is why he said he's 50-50, but this is why I say they're cold-blooded murders. They shot twice before they acknowledged who they were.
Mm.
No light, no silence. That's murder.
Hold on. One thing I've noticed is they seem to be somewhat like creeping up on the situation.
Yeah.
Which I didn't understand that part.
On a legally approved block party of the city of Fort Worth, because they had to have people clean it up. They put all kind of restrictions. Find their application and look what they said. What they then said, you need an armed police officer on you or at your party. Mm-hmm. Aha, that would have been a whole different ball game, wouldn't it? Mm.
You need security or you need an armed police officer?
Something. You need something. If you're going to do a block, I mean, if you assess the risk, if you assess that to be a risky block party, and the night before just gave you clear indication that that's a risky block party. 2 years ago, it gave you a clear indication that that's a risky block party. So I'm not saying end the block party. I'm saying put in the proper measurements to prevent these kind of atrocities, these kinds of massacres, these kind of mass shootings from occurring. It's not rocket science. It's poor leadership and dumb policing.
Mm-hmm.
I would contrast that just by saying real quick that you know, I'm careful about how I talk about how we permit and how we regulate and how we get all of that. And I'm not a free-for-all anarchist or anything like that. But I do not believe – I don't think that – I would disagree that that's actually what our focus should be. That's not a solution. That could be something that you assess. But you know, it's the 4th of July, man. This is – it's the celebration of freedom. And so, you know, to be sitting there saying that, oh, you can't have a koozie and a little bit of chill adult beverage going on and all of this and all of that now. But
you missed what I'm saying. I'm saying when you allow that kind of risk level to go into a place, that
right.
you have to also take into the account the neighbors and everyone who's also involved in that community. So you got to find a reasonable medium so that you don't have – this could have been a whole lot worse. Instead of those bullets hitting those homes, they could have hit somebody. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you
to be honest, I wouldn't have permitted that. I wouldn't have permitted. Yeah. I wouldn't
okay,
have permitted that personally. Yeah. Move on.
Yeah, we're gonna go to that first. Adrian, you ready?
Yeah. I'm ready, but I'm gonna say this real quick. If they took the time out to get a permit, this is not the first time they've had this. So they were considered enough to try to put things in place, you know, so they could have it, something, you know, that they've been doing. So, okay, here we go. I'm going to cure it up. Here we go. Let the chief speak.
I'm here to provide you with updated information concerning an off-the-wall shooting that occurred on July 5th, 2023, involving a Fort Worth police officer and a Fort Worth Fire Department arson investigator. He was a Fire Department employee trained and licensed as an armed Texas peace officer. On the evening of July 4th and into the early morning hours of July 5th, the Fort Worth Police and Fire Departments were working together to proactively address illegal fireworks activity in the city. The Fort Worth PD officer and the arson investigator were working as a two-person team assigned to this detail and responding to fireworks complaints. At approximately 9:20 p.m. on July 4th, this team was dispatched to a fireworks disturbance call at the corner of Ross and 32nd Street, where there was a large block party going on. They spoke with the residents at the location about the disturbance, but did not observe active fireworks activity at that time. At around 12:25 a.m., this team was dispatched to a call in another part of the city, and on the way, drove past the block party at Ross and 32nd. Upon arrival, the officers observed an apparently injured Hispanic male walking away from another male holding a firearm. The officers got out of the vehicle and began walking toward the house at the corner, which was the location of the block party and the crowd. At the same time, the officers were stopping to investigate. Fort Worth PD 911 dispatchers received a call from a neighbor about a disturbance with people fighting at the corner of Ross and 32nd Street.
Fort Worth Police 054, what's the address you're calling about?
So there is a block party on the intersection of Ross Avenue and 32nd.
Okay, 32nd?
Yeah, there's a lot of screaming and crying. I think you're having there's a big old kitchen. There is a big old fight.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
Oh my God, they just shot.
As the Fort Worth officer approached, a gunshot was heard, and a black male later identified as 21-year-old Noah Smith could be seen standing and pointing a firearm at what officers later learned was a Hispanic male on the ground next to an SUV.
Start the
hold on, y'all. No, commercial, hold on. Okay, I'm back.
That's good. That's enough. So y'all heard some.
Okay.
So can I say what I feel after hearing all of that gibberish? If they had assessed that was that great of a risk, that officer never should have ended that party without his lights on or his sirens on to let them know that help was on the way.
But the fact
that she says
the incident is at Ross and 32nd would indicate that that's the call from the 920 incident and not the 1230 incident.
But Karen, that high of a risk, he's trying to paint the picture that it was high risk. First of all, they shouldn't have went in there alone. They should have had backup. But if you're going in there alone, let people know who you are so the good guys can know that there's some help on the way. It just doesn't make a whole lot. Like the young man said earlier, it's 2020. A hindsight is always 2020. They could write that narrative up, but in the 30 seconds of acting, there's no way you could have assessed all of that. There's absolutely no way with the cars and the situation that's set up. What he's not telling you is,
that
that officer broke the rules by shooting first and acknowledging.
Exactly.
My quick observation is when they froze that, for one, you stated that a man was walking away, appeared to be injured. A standing man appeared to be injured, and it was walking away from a guy with a gun. I said earlier when we had our discussion, that right there is a situation that you got to assess. You just ignore this man walking away, apparently to be injured, and it's a guy, he walking away from a guy with a gun. So who is this person, this alleged person that this suspended was walking away from the head of a gun? Because apparently he was in eyesight of y'all or walking distance to where you able to see, oh, he looks injured. Real quick.
Well, we can't make that assumption because he didn't reduce the whole, he hasn't produced
the whole
video.
Quick, hold on, Pastor. Before he shot brother Smith, there was somebody standing next to him, right? If you look at that freeze, it's somebody standing right to the left of brother Smith, right? They just fired recklessly in that individual's direction. I'm sorry. I think that individual that was standing next to him was the person that ended up on the side of that car. That's just my assessment.
You cannot make that assessment with 30 seconds of tape. If they gave us the whole entire tape,
what I'm saying,
and let us run through the whole thing, then we could see everything in context. And what you're going to hear is a whole lot of language. You're going to hear a whole lot of, you know, belligerent policing. They just went wild.
How do we get the tape?
Then let us come back and do assessment because I can't I'm not trying to assess anything. After he shot twice, then he acknowledged who he was. Anything else after that is all he say, she say, speculation on both sides. But I do know that he never acknowledged he never turned his lights on and he never turned his sirens on. Therefore, we didn't know if he was an officer or a gangbanger or someone trying to sabotage. We didn't know. And that officer had a responsibility to turn his lights on and to give some commands before he shot that gun.
I'm going to tell you what we got right here.
Agree.
Listen, all of us, we're going to agree here because this is the dynamic that Mr. Noakes' lies, and this is what they try to do. They create division. They create confusion. Mr. Noakes talking about in the interest of transparency and clarity and everything like that, Chief Noakes put out there has done nothing but exacerbate confusion, create freaking chaos, and this is why, because there's no facts. Nothing that he said is represented in that video, but here's what I'm going to say. When you put a bunch of – when you flood unsubstantiated information, hearsay – and a whole bunch of obnoxious information into a scenario like this, and then you throw an edited clip of video and this and that, whatever, this is what you're going to get. Everybody's going to start trying to look for the facts, but he ain't giving you no facts. Understand that. They aren't giving you the facts.
Exactly. That's why any discussion after those first two shots is mute. He crapped out.
You got to let him finish first. I think what we're seeing here in this whole scenario is what happens when we used to hear about a situation like this and the preachers were able to go in and meet with the police chief and see the video. Are they not doing that anymore? The black preachers?
Pastor Tatum has been excluded from seeing any of the videotapes ever since Quavion Slayton was massacred in the seat of that truck over in Eastwood. They have literally tried to thwart our ability to select our own leadership to assess the situation that's in the best interest of our community. In fact, this latest press conference he had where he showed the video, he invited everyone but me. And the irony of it is, I mean, I'm one of the ones who's most connected to what's really going on in terms of what's happening and can assess and share with them clearly. I tell you what I would have done if I had been there. In protest, I would have walked out after he showed a 30-second edited clip to try to justify those officers' behavior. That's an insult to anyone with any kind of background in this work for us to not only watch it but accept it as fact.
So you mean to tell me that the preachers that would have went in, they didn't get the full video? They're just going to get 30 seconds too?
Everybody, so they've been violating the 3E coalition agreement we've had since 2016, since before Jacqueline Craig. They've been just violating, that's why I say consent decree, because it puts it over, kicks it over in the federal court. So when they do the Fort Worth way, where they do their own thing, then we can kick them back in the court and say, hey, look, they don't want to do it the right way. They're doing it their own way, and they will be forced to do it the right way. And let's see what happens when we force them to do it the right way for a while. People might get liberated. People might get elevated. People might become better than they've been in the past. But you cannot have two responses to tragedy in your community, in your city. The mayor, since the 4th of July, has been missing in action. Not one public press conference, meeting, or gathering with the city folk about this 30 people being shot in less than 10 days, with two mass shootings back-to-back on the 3rd and the 4th, with the police officer being involved in one of them.
Well, she's starting to
know. So that to be called leadership.
So where, because you spoke to the coalition, and I know you said yourself, but where are the people who what are the other people who are part of this coalition? Because you're saying
we meet every Thursday.
Okay, but hold on, but you said, no, but I'm speaking to what you just said. You say they have denied you. They have denied you. Where are the others? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it seems like you are, is no one else.
Oh, they're going in to see it. They go see it.
Who are they?
Well, y'all know how this game works, man. Come on now.
No, Pastor Taylor. You put it out there, though. We're trying to understand who is the coalition, because you said they denied you. Who are the others? We need to know who are these other preachers. Who are these other people we don't know nothing about, because you can't do this alone. You can't do this on your own.
Well, wait, here's the reality. I wasn't invited at the meeting. I don't know who showed up at the meeting. And I don't know who made any comments at the meeting, because I wasn't at the meeting.
Okay, so are you all together? Pastor Tatum, are you all together as a group? Are you all in communication? Are you all
centered?
What's going on?
Okay, that's what you said. We are absolutely not together as a group of pastors. Absolutely not. This is what happens with the pastoral leadership in this city. Before, they used to have like the big four, north side, east side, west side, big four pastors and things. And that was the kind of to keep us settled and keep us moving forward and not agitated, irritated. But as time grew, now you got more churches and more people. What they identify is the people who can be easily persuaded or paid off, or who does not want to cause any ripples, and make them the leadership. And so I'm not going to fight against that. That's Willie Lynch. I mean, that's what they're wanting us to do, right? Whether it's the funding for CCPD, whether it's leading on these areas, no one has led in this space since 2009 more than I have. So, I mean, I can give you some historical information that could be of value, if nothing more. But I can also give you some subject matter expertise information that can help you assess, as the young man just have. If I was assessing his explanation for what the chief has done, he would make an A-plus in a class. He would make an A-plus because he dissects the chief, and you're going over into the people with the preachers, and you dissecting them, but you want me to do it, and I don't mind doing it because they're picking people who are not going to push back. They're
picking people who are going to accept
the crumbs and not pay for the loaf of bread under their arms.
Hold on. Let me finish. We hear that. See, we talk that amongst ourselves, this division, this person doing that, they not doing that. It's like, you know what I'm saying? So all I'm saying is, okay, so it apparently it's splintered somewhere. Okay, these pastors or whoever these individuals are, if they're part of any kind of coalition, they got the right to be outed. Cause and especially if they are preachers, because their livelihoods are made possible by the communities that they serve in. So, I'm sorry, I'm not for the. Who are they? And my thing is this: we can do without them. We can establish a new group of people with like minds, with like passions, like desires to move forward on matters that pertain to the city, who can't be bought, who won't be silenced, who won't go along with the BS. But they got to be called out, because if they still moving like this, I'm sorry. We need to know who they are. And I ain't saying you got to put them out, but how can I find out who they are?
Speaking out all of a sudden, now they're not speaking out anymore. I mean, you know,
right.
they were speaking out before. I mean, listen.
Damn, Pastor.
Have you ever known me not to speak out, as long as you've known?
No,
I've been
you
home
solid. I love you. I love you, Pastor.
2004,
you are solid.
And I have not given up. But you see these jokers come and go in and out, and the city embraced them because why? They are go along to get along and turn those same activists against us.
Yes, sir.
So I call it the pork chop mentality. You have two hungry dogs that's being mistreated in a cage, and somebody throws a pork chop in to give it to one of the dogs, and both dogs fight over that pork chop. Then they go get the pork chop and take it out. Say, I told you them dogs didn't want nothing. You know, that's the psychology that we're dealing with. That's the psychology. So I don't necessarily I get frustrated and upset, angry at those preachers, because I know they're hungry, but at the same token, it's hurting our community. By them accepting the crumbs and not holding them accountable for these kind of mass shootings.
Let me jump in. So we need to understand, because you know, behind the scenes, we call the CCPD funding the hush fund. So that's the end.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
Now, it's a hush fund. So recently when we asked for a printout of who all getting CCPD funding, we don't see any preacher's name on there. So is there another way in which this funding is coming directly to these preachers?
Listen, it doesn't even have to be CCP money. I mean, let's not even try to pick a spot. I mean, Fort Worth is the 12th largest economy in the United States of America.
It's not about wealth, it's about will.
They don't have the will to treat marginalizing black people as if they have human rights. They don't think we have any human rights, because this behavior is precipitate, meaning this behavior is letting us know exactly how you feel about it. You just had two mass shootings, and we don't know the names of all that were shot.
We don't know the names of the officer or the arson investigator. We don't know very much of anything. You know,
he wants us to trust him. He wants us to trust him. He didn't cut the tape. He didn't whitewash us with his – and that tape y'all just listened to, I have a hard time listening to it. I would have gave him an F for communication. He would have failed.
Sir.
He would have failed communication 101, because in communication 101, it tells you keep it simple. And he became such a legal crap in that tight tape there. He's more interested in protecting himself than he is about reassuring the community that everything was okay. This is the same chief
who went along with having the parade in Como after the largest mass shooting in the history of Fort Worth. And he went along, and both of the perpetrators were still on the loose. How low can you go?
And he was the police chief. He was the police. He can't play dumb because he was the police chief 2 years ago when this less serious incident happened at the same event.
It wasn't this, man.
You think
that's the same? The shot
it
of
wasn't no less. It wasn't no less. It was no less.
Yes, it's horrific, but we just accept it as okay.
Yeah.
There was no public outcry. And now when this happened, and let me tell you what made me do the outcry, and I lost a lot of friends in Como. But when I went to stand with Pastor Jones because he was upset with the second shooting in less than 2 years. So he wasn't in the mood to parade, and neither was I. But he was going to stand there and be in support because his people were putting it on. But when I stood at the end of the parade so I could see who was going to lead the parade. And when I saw Tracy Carter in a black SUV leading the parade, and the mayor and the police chief out passing out candy to little black and brown kids as if nothing had just happened. And they just had walked past the blood on the streets of the people who were shot and or killed as if nothing happened. And I said, you have got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
But you know, you can't blame them too much when I saw that crowd out there. So, everybody was in unison, like, okay, let's move on with the parade.
No. Leadership turned a parade from the 4th of July into a march against youth gun violence.
That's okay.
Leadership. I'm talking about leadership. I'm not talking about people's feelings.
Uh-huh.
That would have been the best time for the city to come together and march against youth gun violence and declare it a public health issue crisis and put all the resources we can into these marginalized communities so our babies can get some trauma treatment. But we ignore it.
That's what I said.
We're ignoring it. And Carl Jung said it best, the foundation of all mental illness is the avoidance of legitimate suffering. That's mental health, right, 101.
Okay. I would say that the immediate reaction that after my analysis on the Como thing, the immediate reaction that just struck me was we got the freaking bull. As soon as the shooting was over, I was watching Tonya Carter's Como Action News. She was right there at that corner, and you saw the caravan of police cars coming in, and all of these young bucks jump out with their fucking Bull Connor batons and helmets on, and they start dispersing the crowd. Now I'm sitting
no
here saying
no trauma care in the place. No,
and I'm
trauma.
Sitting here saying all right, but here's what I'll say. What I would have expected was the CIT team to show up. Come on.
Absolutely.
You bragging about this shit, but no, they only work banker's hours. This happened at midnight, 12:30. CIT, man, that's that lean back luxury position that you get, you know, because you too damn broke and old to get out and do anything in the community. So they just set you up for them banker's hours. And anyway.
Listen, y'all, this has been very good. I just, y'all are some of the most intelligent people who does some of the best analysis. And I say this, I get mad at the media because their analytical skills are not up to par to be in this large of a market. But every time I listen to the three of you guys speak, you guys are on it. And I don't necessarily say we have to agree on everything, but
yes,
you
sir.
Are keen in on the right thing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about always agreeing, but it's about being in the right space. And we are in the right space. So while there is an incredible amount of who's who discussion of what happened, he say, she say, after the six shots, but it's indisputable what happened before.
Yes,
sir. He didn't turn his lights on. He didn't turn his sirens on. He didn't acknowledge himself before he shot two shots.
And here's the quick one thing that I've been trying to get
hold on,
real
quick.
Hold on, man.
That was
hold on, let me say
that was the that was the beginning of the chaos right there.
Yeah.
That's chaos. They created.
But here's
it.
The thing. Here's what's missing, and here's where it all goes off the rail. You got a 30-second video. You got two body cameras. You got – there's a thing called positional bias. There's one body cam and there's another body cam, and then whatever everybody else that ain't got a body cam, they're seeing something different. So you giving this one perspective, a tunnel vision of a situation, and you talking about what's going on 360. That camera don't see 360. If you got two videos, you put two videos out. Okay?
Too
because
much,
you're talking
that gives them too much. That gives them too much room to discuss other things.
Exactly. Here's what I'm going to suggest.
He knew
exactly
what he was doing when he said what he said, because he knew
you heard,
whether you're a conspiracy
right.
theory or a real good criminal analyst like you guys are,
yes.
he knew that you were going to chase those rabbits. But when I
right.
first heard him say that the officer shot twice before he acknowledged who he was, I was done.
But
done.
Here's the
I was
thing.
Just getting the other facts
yeah.
of the family of those who've been victimized and shot to see who've been shot so I can get them to help. I want to find out who's been traumatized so we can get them some help. Everything
yes, sir.
Else
right.
was a byproduct
yes,
of those first two shots that he shot into a crowd at a block party without acknowledging
yes,
who he was. He got
right.
to go
and,
sit
but
down
real quick,
with Aaron
real
Dean.
Quick, real quick. The last point I'm going to make. The shot that what I'm telling you is we got the 360, but we got like 10 degrees tunnel view vision, and then he's trying to tell us what 10 degrees tunnel vision. Without that other body camera, we are hearing him tell us that, oh, these people were shooting. Mentor was shooting. Smith was shooting. There was another person shot from somewhere. But listen, you're talking about this shot. Bam, bam, bam. You hear it on the video. Well, okay. Well, we don't know. How are we to know that – because what I saw play out through the video was that arson investigator that was to the left, he was taking the lead on this situation, and we didn't – might have been busted popping those shots that Neil's talking about. He might have shot – he might have been the first shot that set everything off that Neil – but we ain't getting that.
I know,
and,
sir.
It's bullshit.
Know that, when you start dealing with all of that, sir, that's the
yeah.
law – the law that we're going to get them with, you're going into some areas that it can take them forever to investigate, come out on their
right.
side. We bring somebody else in to investigate, come out on our side. Then you're going to bring a third person to investigate, and that can take forever. With what I'm saying, let's remain focused on the two shots without any
yeah.
acknowledgement
oh, yeah.
of who he was in the dark
mm-hmm.
at 12 o'clock at night. In a block.
I
party.
Agree.
That's all. Stay right there. And we got
Patrick.
Him doing the same thing that other guy did.
Patrick Taylor, we have a brand new director of OPM. So moving forward, what type of new policies need to be implemented as a result of what happened on the north side?
What needs to happen is a federal Department of Justice Civil Rights Office investigation immediately.
Wow.
Immediately. This is something to the same as Michael Brown kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You had two young African-American males lose their lives, and the police department is painting them as being the perpetrators. If you're going to call them the perpetrators, then you're going to have to be accountable for your actions as well. And we know, sir, that two of your officers shot two bullets into a crowd and then announced themselves and then shot six more times in the middle of a panic. That we know.
You know
all the rest of that, sir, we don't know. I don't want to speculate on it because it's all – and I truly don't trust you. I truly don't trust them. Truly don't trust you. I do not trust the Fort Worth Police Department. I really don't. There are some incredible people on that force. I have some incredible friends in policing all across this nation, from police chiefs to commissioners of policing to people who work for the federal government. I have ATF director. He was my mentor as I came through the School of Criminal Justice at North Texas, and he's the second in charge of ATF. I am nowhere near anti-police. I love police who do good policing. But Fort Worth has no regard from people in marginalized community based on the facts, especially if they're black. So I'm going to stick right there. And that's not the only one, because we have to get over to Evans and Rosedale real quick too. You know, we got there's a bunch of these we got to stay on top of. That's why I appreciate you guys. Y'all stay on top. But we got to get an army of people that every time something happens, and it's not just the police. You're absolutely right. Black-on-black crime is hideous. And I've been out front on that. I'm not giving them a pass either. But I know theirs is mental health. But I know those
right.
other ones are hatred, because they're trained. They're supposed to be
right.
trained. The police are supposed to be trained. Those out on the street are not trained. They're struggling.
Yes,
they're traumatized.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
we're trying
sir.
To get them some help, and you're denying us getting them some help. They won't even help
yes,
us help ourselves get better. They'd rather pacify some of these little programs who's trying to do a little program than to really put a comprehensive mental health treatment plan in place so anybody in our city can get access to the proper help anytime they need it. We got
so
the help.
What
we just don't have
what
the
What should the community be doing moving forward? The black
right
community.
Now, we need a petition going. I wish y'all could help me with this. Asking for
yes,
a
sir.
Department of Education investigation into the city of Fort Worth mistreatment of the black community.
Wow.
Men lie,
so people
women
need
lie,
a petition.
But the numbers don't lie.
We need a petition that says what?
We need a petition to go to the Department of Justice, Office of mm-hmm. Civil Rights, requesting an investigation into the city of Fort Worth for its misconduct against the black community.
Somebody's got some noise in their background, so I'm going to ask you to isolate whatever that is. And I've isolated it to your phone, Christopher.
Yeah, I thought I unmuted myself. Sorry.
Okay. So, yeah. So,
okay.
So the thing is this, you know, we don't come together like other communities when situations happen. That's our greatest failure, because it seems like, you know, just when we start to unite, they'll find the weakest link, and then they'll pay that person, and then they'll come in and divide and conquer. How do we get past that in our community?
We stay focused on those who stay focused with us. When they
mm-hmm.
break rank, they break rank. They're no longer
mm-hmm.
with us. They are against us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bishop, mm-hmm. I think it was Bishop John Richard Bryan who said it, your enemy is the one that don't want you to have what they have.
Mm.
So if they're blocking us from getting, if they're blocking us from getting fair treatment, if they're blocking us from getting safe and communities, if they're blocking us from getting from get too much tickets, too much jail time, too much, you know, harassment, if they're blocking us from getting that same kind of treatment, then they're my enemies. They're not my friends. We don't have to ignore them.
Was this the first year that they've ever done this? I'm going to isolate you again, Chris, please. Has this been the first year that they've ever put a two-man team of an arson investigator with a police officer and attempted to do something like this that you know of?
This is going to be a case study of how not to police in the 21st century. Mark my word. This is going to be a case study. The more I read about it, Brother Chris, I'm like Brother Chris, the more I read about it, I said, how bizarre is this?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever would have heard of an investigator being a peace officer going with a police officer on the scene and both of them shooting up folk and it's okay. And we don't know nothing about this program in the hood.
I'm not laughing at you.
Well,
I'm laughing at the way you tell you that, golly.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on. I can't make this up.
Somebody gonna be talking about it.
If we could move on and focus real quick on that whole issue of what we're getting about these that arson investigator's resume. Are y'all wanting to talk about that? Because that was
Right now, I think we need to focus some attention on, and I hope we can get on this page. We need outside influence in this, and we're not getting it from Mark Vesey, our congressman, who represents the poorest district in the North Texas.
Hey, since you referenced him, I'm glad you referenced him, because I want y'all to hear this. Kevin, what you shared with me earlier, that statement he gave, and let me just show you how disconnected he is from the people. He said, I don't know much of, and I quote, this is Mark Vesey, speaking to whoever he was speaking to, he said, I don't know much about the two gunmen that were arrested, said Vesey, in a speech referencing the gunmen accused in the Como shooting, but I bet you they are just as bad as the person that was responsible for so many of those murders during the 1994 era. And then I guess they try to reference what happened in Como in 1994. But I say this to say this, what you've been speaking to, the mental health of our community. You're not turning us down, but dissecting, diagnosing the problem, the key problem, what's going on in our community, the mental health, the poverty, the disenfranchisement, all the stuff that they try to defile, try to keep us and destroy us with. This fool said this, and I say, yeah. When you brought him up, and I rethought about what he said, I said, yeah, this fool, he ain't with us. That fool, he ain't with us. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call him a fool, but he ain't with us. He ain't.
Everything. Well, here's the reality.
Everything that I'm hearing
too.
Yeah.
So he's blaming the victim, right? Because here's the reality: if you take a criminal justice approach, you're going to focus on what they did. But if you take a public health approach, you're going to figure out what happened to them. See, if you figure out what happened to them, then you better understand why they're doing what they're doing. But he's
right.
An idiot, and you said it. An idiot is someone who shows no compassion, no kindness for someone. If you want to find the biggest idiot in the room, find the meanest, callous, most uncaring person in the room. But if you want to find the smartest person in the room, kindest, the nicest, the most compassionate and giving person in the room, and you'll find the smartest people. For him to make that statement, knowing the conditions of Como, historically, he grew up in that area, knowing that even though they try to put a nice smile on it, Como got some issues. This just brought it out. And one guy said, well, you're using Como, you know, to further your agenda. I said, first of all, brother, you are my agenda. And second of all, I'm not using Como. God is using Como. I didn't know what happened to Como. God allowed this to happen. So you get talk to God and see, Lord, why did you allow this to happen to us? And he'll tell you exactly what I'm telling you. So don't get caught up on me. It's a larger issue that we have to deal with. And the larger issue than getting caught up on Como or Northside is 30 people were shot. 10 died, majority of them black, and 6 at the hand of the police department. Lord, have mercy. With one,
and here's one thing,
fatally struck in an illegal chasing of a bad guy.
Here's one thing you got to understand.
Lord, have mercy.
Here's one thing you got to understand real quick about when you're dealing with almost any politician, and this is my read on VC. Everything that you get out of VC is an accountability, a dodge on accountability. That's all. Accountability is so difficult. So, you know, and what you also got to understand too is that, you know, when you got things like this, the only vaccination that we have in the criminal justice system is transparency, which that's the reason that when you take an oath as a witness or when you I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. That's what transparency is. And then accountability is the consequence to come with the justice. But we've got corrupt justice in Fort Worth. Nothing better than that.
You know what, Pastor? So did anyone on the north side, you know, request pre-counseling for those that witnessed what happened? Or
in all fairness, they're trying to get over the police making them look like the bad guy.
Ooh.
See, when you make them look like the bad guy, it gives the entire city you know, justification for not helping that community. So
right.
He's taking those two guys represent the whole community, and the whole community is hurting. So they deserve it because they're the victims, according to what you said. I mean, according
right.
to what they're saying.
In most neighborhoods today, when something goes down, the first thing people say is, who had doorbell cameras? Does anybody know if there was any doorbell cameras in the neighborhood or anything like that?
Again, that hasn't been my focus, and that's not going to be my focus. My focus okay. is on those two officers, and I'm going to focus on their conduct and no one else's conduct. And based on what we're hearing so far, I know without a shadow of a doubt they were wrong. Because they never said one time that Bronche nor Billy shot anybody. They never said they were shooting anybody.
Here's an angle that I would give you. Here's an angle that I would give you. It's what I know about the law as a fact of law. Okay? When an officer is involved and shoots you or draws a weapon and points a weapon at you, that is what you call a Fourth Amendment seizure, that is arrest. And
yes,
especially
sir.
when they shoot you or kill you. So I don't give a damn what the policy is, what the rationale is. Any of those victims who were there that you know that you're in contact with, they have an absolute and affirmative right to know who the officer was that arrested them. There's reports. And here's where because them
arrested?
Not telling those victims, them not telling those victims who shot them, or the police officers that conducted a Fourth Amendment seizure, that's called obstruction of justice and deprivation of constitutional rights, because they cannot go to the Internal Affairs Investigation Department and file a complaint against an officer that they don't have the name and badge number. So they're being deprived their right of redress. Damn. You can force them to give up the name of those officers.
Pastor Tatum, I saw where I think it was WFAA did a story and said that there were shell casings left behind on the ground. How is the investigation complete if they didn't get all the shell casings off the ground?
As I stated before, and I state again, this is the worst case of policing I've ever seen.
Mm.
I mean, wow. I went over there and I saw things that were still hot that I know that they could have said that three homes had bullets in them. We pulled the bullets out and they were officer bullets, or that they were not officer bullets. They could have said that,
yeah.
But they didn't. They could have said, you know what, he shot through two parked cars from 25 yards away in the dark. So I don't see that's going too deep in that. That leads, like you said, Brother Chris, that's falling right into what the chief wants us to do, speculate
yeah.
on the nonsense. And missed mm-hmm. the obvious that he stated
right.
the first time he spoke, when he said the officer shot twice before he made a comment. And he started
mm-hmm.
keep going on with his monotone voice so that you like the chief reminds me of that person who sells you those pharmaceutical pills on TV. You know? They tell you this stuff and you get excited, and then they have the monotone voice telling you about all the side effects.
Right.
You have to really listen
yeah.
to understand. They said
yes,
the side effects will kill you a lot quicker than all the other stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's what notice. That's gaslighting he's doing. That's how he does it with his voice. And Chris hit it on the head. I tell you, he's on it tonight.
There's one more quick point. In the general orders, I looked up assault, aggravated assault. It's in the general orders, I don't know the number, I can look it up, but it says specifically the procedure. So you had that old man, the 61-year-old man who the police delivered to the hospital. He was a gunshot victim, so he was automatically a victim in an assault. And it says you shall not leave that person, and you shall stay with that person and take photos and retreat and be there until and so what you were saying that they just left him as John Doe and then walked away and they never even took a statement from him.
They tried to get statements. No, that's not what I said. I said they sent their detectives in there to talk to him, but he was of no help because he kept saying, "I'm homeless, I'm homeless, I'm homeless." And
right.
So by him saying he's homeless, they're saying, well, he's going to, you know, go back into the neighborhood, right? But the reality was they discharged him, gave him a prescription for 5 pills, different types of pills, and no voucher to get the pills. A homeless person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he sat outside until some relative came and picked him up. And 5 days went by, and he was in such excruciating pain. His grandmother, 94 years old, called me and said, "Pastor Tatum, can you help him?" And I said, "What?" And that's when I found out he was one of the victims. And he told me I got shot from behind. I was cleaning up. I don't know what was going on. I didn't see nothing. And then when you see him, when they showed that video of him shooting, and they lied and say the man left the scene, he didn't leave the scene. They put him in the ambulance.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not laughing. It's almost like a scripted movie or something. I mean, it's so many characters.
Twists and turns. It's so many twists and turns.
Right. Pastor Tatum, we got to get ready, get out of here. Give us your final comments tonight.
Let's get this petition going. We need 1,000 signatures on the petition. I don't know who's going to set it up and get us going, but we're going to get it going. Requesting from the Department of Justice, Office of Civil Rights, to do an investigation into the misconduct of the city of Fort Worth against the black community.
Wow.
And we're going to give examples from Michael Jacobs up to Billy Smith.
All right, y'all.
Dequavion Slayton, Ra Ra Thomas, Kevin Goldstein, keep on going. Amari Malone, I mean, help me, Holy Ghost. Carolyn Daniels, Noah Lopez, all of these still be alive if we had police officers who really cared about its citizenry. But they don't care about us because they're not one of us. 80% of the police department don't even live in Fort Worth. They raise their kids in other communities. They take their checks to other communities. They build their lives in other communities, and they come over and treat us like we're second-class citizens. Time out. No more. I'm on the carpet. And I everyone who's felt it before to sign this petition so that we can get the federal government in here and look at not just policing, but housing, economic, the environment, education. It's horrific. And if you look at it, and I'm not saying others are not hurting, but if you look at it, the black community is not just hurting. The numbers are horrific. 94% can't read. Black men live to be 62. Black women have the highest infant mortality rates and the lowest premature birth rates. Our black girls have some of the worst sexual transmitted diseases traveling around this entire city. And no one is saying, hello, let's get a black agenda so we can get better. And I think it's because there's a fear factor of the city of Fort Worth that paralyzes our consciousness, that puts our soul in compromise so we would rather straddle the fence and survive than to fight so that we could all thrive. And that's what we're living in. So I thank you all for the opportunity. I pray you all work with us on this petition, and let's see what the Lord does in the end.
Wow. Y'all, that was Pastor P.M. Tatum. Listen, y'all, Let's Talk Fort Worth is the hottest destination in this city on Friday night. We want to thank Pastor Tatum for stopping by. We want to also thank you for listening tonight. We appreciate you. We want you to know that, and we want you to tell a friend about the show. Listen, follow us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page titled Let's Talk Worth. If y'all think we do it big on Friday night, you definitely want to check out that page. It's always being updated, and it's always popping. That I can promise you. Listen, y'all, each week we have a mission when we do these shows. Our mission is that We're always informative. We're always basically trying to present you with a subject matter that's thought-provoking, and we also want to be entertaining. I feel like we met our goal tonight, having Pastor Tatum be with us tonight. Absolutely. That's our mission every week, and we hit the nail on the head tonight. Also, consider advertising with us. If you have a product, a service, a business, a nonprofit, consider advertising right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. We have an email address that you can hit me up at. It is letstalkfortworth@aol.com. That's letstalkfortworth@aol.com. Also, y'all, what we do around here, by the way, we don't get paid to do it. It's almost like a ministry to us. We love this city that much. We come out here every week and pour our hearts out on these shows to keep you informed about what's going on in our city and what's going on downtown. If you like what we do, consider donating to the show. We have a Cash App. It'll be posted on the Let's Talk Fort Worth page. If you'd like to donate, we would love you to do so. Also, y'all, we got to get out of here, but I want you to know, keep it locked right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as we tell you exactly what they're doing downtown. Until next week, good night.